The Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Coming up, first ever, I believe, week 15 pod of Stanford Steve and the Bear. We also have a first ever underdog as a steamer. Our thoughts on the latest rankings. But first, also want to remind everyone to check out Mina Kimes' podcast. Download and subscribe to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny and also us, Stanford Steve and the Bear, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Bear, we are in uncharted waters. Is that the right saying? Week 15. We're usually like, you shut it down. This is your week. You're traveled 14 straight weeks. You got the nasal going. You got a little cough going. But you know what? I feel like you're good. We talk pre-show. You're good to go here.
I've been pretty good. Usually this is like the week of like you kind of get that Vegas bowl, like travel out there for the first week. Maybe we kick around some bowls. But yeah, we got some games this week, and yeah, it was interesting to see the Texas winner from our guy. And I had like, to take a double check and rub my eyes. I was like, there's a plus sign there. I like, is the coach thinking all right,
but, somebody grab his phone. All right, we will get to the underdog steamer. We do have to catch up on your travel plans. We have unprecedented times there for this coming Saturday as you will be headed to the great Mikey Stadium for game day. But first, I feel like I always take the reins here, and I just take it and I run with it and I go and you got to follow. And now that it's week 15, it's your week. You start. You got something to say. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, it's funny. I put something out there last week about how, like, the whole Big Ten situation. And, it, you know, at first I was like, yeah, no, it would suck you in the end. It would stink to play all your games and have them change your rules. But I was kind of like, but I expect it. And I wasn't going to, like, be totally upset and, like, outraged by it. But it kind of bothers me a lot now just for – It does. Seriously, it gives off a vibe of, okay, we don't like the result, so we're just going to change it a week before. Like, it's like, come on, the Big Ten could have this, the best of both worlds in this ridiculous, dumb year and season. You could have a special story where Northwestern or Indiana get to crown themselves Big Ten champs. You let Ohio State play Iowa next week or whomever. They're still going to go to the playoff, and you get the best of both worlds. Now it's like the game is rigged. Now it's like everything's stacked against you. I wish I had all my soccer under bets. Like, I wish they paid me after 57 minutes, because that's basically what the Ohio State's played 62.5% of their season. Like, pay me for 57 minutes worth of a soccer under. That's what basically it is. Like, it just shows that the games don't matter. They know Ohio State is their money maker, and they're going to just accommodate them. And it just bothers me. And it also, like, you're going to think that much better of Ohio State because they beat Northwestern in a Big Ten championship game than you would if they beat Iowa in just another game next week. Like, this whole like charade and facade of like a conference championship, meaning that you're better than someone else. That's just a playoff committee, like joke. Like it has nothing to do with it. That's based on the premise that all conferences and all teams are created equal. And it's just this thing. Like, you're telling me that, like, cause USC or whomever,
Colorado
wins the Pac-12, that they're better than Texas A&M or Florida, like whoever doesn't win the SEC. Come on. You're good. You put a banner up, you get a conference championship ring, fine. But winning a conference has nothing to do with like determining who the best team is. And that's just like this committee like fallacy to just kind of leave it vague and open it up and kind of make it fair for everyone. But the more and more I thought about it over the last couple of days, when it was kind of like obvious what the Big Ten was going to do here, it's bothered me more and more. And I don't like it one bit. I'm sure I'm in the minority there. And I'm sure people are saying, oh, well, they can do whatever they want. The ACC did this. But the Big Ten had an opportunity here to, like, they always talk about, like, the Big Ten is above all this and academics and everything matters and they're the higher standard. Like, this isn't a higher standard. This is catering to a team and changing things around at the last hour because you didn't like the result. You could have had it both ways. You could have the best of both worlds. Instead, Indiana's getting screwed. So no one is saying Indiana is better than Ohio State. They played in Columbus. Ohio State won the game 42-35 in the game where Indiana came back. Indiana managed to do everything, get through their season, play, manage the virus, keep their players healthy and eligible. Ohio State played 5 games. Like, at some point, like, playing games has to matter. And qualifying and setting the standard and the rules of what the Big Ten set out, like that should matter. But instead, they're not. So that's my rant. I feel bad for Indiana because they if I'm an Indiana player or coach or whatever, like, look, the rules were there. Everyone knew the rules, and it's a clear attempt by the Big Ten to manipulate and get Ohio State in the conference championship game for a game that ultimately means nothing because they're going to make the playoff anyway, whether they beat Northwestern or whether they beat Iowa. So
you don't feel like Indiana deserves a shot at the playoff, though?
No.
Okay, because that argument is ridiculous to me.
No,
I got no time for that. Okay.
No, I'm not saying
you're just talking about the idea of a Big Ten championship and what the rules were. Okay. Correct. I just wanted to clarify because this stuff of Oregon or Indiana being supposedly in the playoff is asinine to me. You, just like Scott said last night, Ohio State didn't play enough games according to you, but they played enough against you and they beat you and it was 35-7. So I will say this, in a year where we're going to have limited games and you talk about the games played, and I don't know where this takes us. I'm not saying, we would obviously wait to see what happens with Florida and Bama. But the A&M win over Florida has to mean something. They played the game and it happened. And, you know, you're talking about getting through the season. They're getting through the season, both teams. But, that's one thing I will say. There are things to assess if Florida does beat Bama, but you still have to have A&M higher than Florida, which is correct opinion.
You right won't now. Because Florida will have beaten number one Alabama and be the SEC champion. That's where we'll be. And it's this, and that's the one thing that if you're, and we talk about betting and stuff, if you are a bettor out there who is now kind of upset about this Indiana thing, you're holding an Indiana ticket or a Northwestern ticket to win the Big Ten at big numbers, and the Big Ten's going to let Ohio State in the game. What you want to have happen now? You want Florida to beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, because in that scenario, you're probably going to get Florida and Alabama in the playoff, and you're probably going to get Clemson and Notre Dame in the playoff, assuming Clemson wins, and then Ohio State would be left out. And you probably would feel a little bit of like bitter vengeance if that's the case, or kind of feel good about the rules kind of be twisted to help Ohio State and then it still not work out. And the thing is, like, there is a path. I mean, is it likely? No. But
I gave you the path last night. I tweeted it out.
Yeah, the path is there. Alabama beats Florida. Notre Dame beats Clemson. You got Clemson, and that's going to be the thing. Again, what we're talking about here. I don't think there's anybody out there that thinks Iowa State is better than Clemson. But in this committee logic mind, Iowa State will be the Big 12 champion, and Clemson won't be a champion. They'll be a two-loss non-champion. So a two-loss Big 12 champion somehow in the committee's mind is better than a two-loss Clemson. But that's the path. It's the A&M won't be a conference champ. Florida will have been eliminated, two-loss non-conference, not a champ. Like, the path is there for, like, potentially for this Iowa State-Clemson discussion if we do have a second Notre Dame upset of the Tigers in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, so the scenario was, I Bear said it there. There was a couple other things I added. Alabama beats Florida. Notre Dame beats Clemson. Ohio State doesn't play again. A&M doesn't play again. And that, you know, the way down, you know, and what opened my eyes to that, Bear, is there's no way Cincinnati's in. I don't see a road for them. I don't see it. Maybe if Iowa State or Oklahoma beats Iowa State 3-0 in a very unimpressive Big 12 title game, even though last year's Big 12 title game wasn't too impressive either. But it's crazy to see a Big 12 champion. And listen, we've talked about Iowa State on this podcast more than anyone talks about podcasts. I've heard other podcasts say they're not even in their mix. Whatever that means. But it's pretty eye-opening now that the Cincinnati thing, and to hear Bart afterwards on the conference call say they don't have a win against a top 25 team, that's right. But at least we have – you know who I would put in that scenario if all those things happen?
Georgia.
Yes. Got to put Georgia in.
I was kidding. I mean, I was expecting a –
They got it all. You should see. I mean, I love seeing their stuff. Oh, you don't know what we are. You think Florida's a better team than when they played A&M? We're better because we got Daniels now, and we're. Oh God, please, please. But what else do we have from last night?
Getting back to Iowa State.
Yep.
People are killing them and like wondering why they're ranked this high. Like again, FPI. Is not used by the committee, but it's like it's determining like quality wins in terms of like teams that are good, that the power ratings have high. Iowa State has the same number of wins against top 40 FPI teams as Alabama does. They both have 5. So it's like, again, the committee's using wins versus like the committee top 25 or the way the committee ranks them, which is fine as well. But like, Iowa State has good wins. They played 10 games this year, and 7 of them have been against top 40 teams in terms of our power ratings. Now, maybe you can say there's a bit of a flaw.
They got some bad losses, Bear.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, you look at the final score against Louisiana, and you see a 17-point loss or whatever it was. And then you do a little bit more research – and you see 3 non-offensive touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Kohler didn't play. Half the team didn't practice until like 3 days before the game, I don't think. Like there were a lot of circumstances, and it was like a touchdown with like 2 minutes left or something that completely blew it open. So, like, yeah, the score looked bad, but like it wasn't like 31-14 with a late touchdown to make it from 31-7 to 31-14. Like Louisiana had 270 yards in the game.
I think their other loss is worse.
The loss at Oklahoma State in a game, lost by field goal.
Yeah.
Party didn't play well that game. That's perfectly fair. No, I'm just saying like all losses aren't created equal. And I'm not sitting here stumping that Iowa State should get in the play. But I'm just – people are asking why are they ranked where seventh where they are ahead of Cincinnati. It's because they have a lot of games against good teams. Cincinnati has played one team. In the top 40, Cincinnati has 4 wins versus the bottom third of college football. Iowa State's got 1. So, this is the committee showing that schedule matters to them. Like it doesn't matter too much. You could argue maybe it does, but I'm just answering the question. People are like,
I got you.
Iowa State's schedule is like 19th, Cincinnati 77th.
Do you have Coastal ranked ahead of Cincinnati?
I'll tell you what, I could make that argument.
They got it. They are a top 10
team. I can make that argument.
They have to have them in the top 10.
I mean, Cincinnati. What's Cincinnati's best? UCF, is that their best win?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they gave SMU's first loss, but then SMU hasn't done anything.
If you're Coastal and you have a win, a blowout win over a Power 5 team in Kansas, I mean, it's still a Power 5 team.
I know it is. They're undefeated. Like, this is the thing. The Iowa State loss to Louisiana, that's the thing that hurts, is they're one of the three losses where the Sun Belt's 3-0. That's tough, man. That's a tough look.
Coastal has the win over Louisiana, mm-hmm. and then a win over App State, and then the win over BYU. Like, that's a pretty damn good resume for a group of five team
from the Sun Belt.
You could make a very, very good case that Coastal should be ranked ahead of Cincinnati.
Thank you. Because I've been on Cincinnati the whole year, and now they're at 8-0. They've been at 8-0, and in a year where the wins are I'm counting the wins more than anything. There's a lot of no one has more deserves more recency bias than Coastal, so I have them in the top 10. They're this Iowa State thing, and I just can't buy it. I've always said they don't drop them low enough when these teams lose, and they don't move them up high enough when they're undefeated. So I have Coastal again ahead of those two. I am at 7. All right. I think that gets us. Indiana fans are mad because they should have moved up in the top 10 after a massive win at Madison. Remember when that Friday night when everybody thought
Graham Mertz Heisman. Put pencil in. Big Ten's going to get two teams in the playoff, right? Yeah. How long ago that was?
Yeah. Speaking of Graham Mertz, shout out to our guy, Coach Duggs, for getting some more offseason hardware. Winning the Quarantine Award for his content in the offseason. Good for him.
It was the best. That was the best thing that happened to Coach Duggs this past week after the Badgers went down at home to Indiana and your guy Duke alum Wojo in Marquette.
I didn't want to bring that on the hardwood.
At least the week ended on a good note for Duggs.
There you go. Shout out Duggs. All right, you're going to Mikey Stadium.
I am.
And then you're going to
Miami.
Okay. So let's start first with the drive up the Hudson. Game day is going to Army Navy at Army. They cannot be happy seeing that painted end zone with Navy in it, man. I saw that last week and I'm like, that is going to drive. Like, there are guys up in West Point that haven't slept since they saw that paint there. There is no doubt. Speaking of guys who haven't slept, there's no way Sean McVay has slept this week with the Patriots coming in, knowing what's going on there.
Thursday night or whatever it is.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to Mikey Stadium game day. I asked you, you've been there before. The show has gone to game day.
Yes.
When?
2003. We had South Florida, Jim Levitt era at Army.
Late
September. And it's the only game day show that has ever been canceled mid-show. We had a lightning strike nearby, or horrible weather, and we had to shut down the show and stop the show mid-show. And then we had to drive back from West Point, and the rest of the day on Saturday, we had what I like to call the jumbo package. On the set doing scoreboard shows and raps the rest of the day. We had Chris Lee and Kirk, because Desmond wasn't there yet. We had Chris Lee and Kirk, and then we had Reese, Trev, and Mark. So we had six people on the set, Fowler and Reese bookending the set, and then the four analysts in between there. And that actually was the day that the Dirty Golden Bears beat USC in 2003.
Wow.
It's late September. They should be back at school. I think it was like September 26th or September 27th, 2003. But so we're looking forward to getting back there this week, and then some things are in the works, in the mix to at the end of the show to potentially have some fun. And Kirk and Maria and myself need to get down to Miami to call the Canes and the Tar Heels.
All right.
So that's a 3:30 Eastern kick.
Sure is.
We'll take a fast flying plane to get down there in time, do the game, and then, like, in the most unlikeliest of, like, flights that ever possibly could exist, there's a 905 nonstop on the other airline. Emphasis, the other airline.
Oh.
Not my airline. 9:05 p.m. nonstop, other airline, MIA, BDL, and I'm taking it. To make you happy.
I took that flight the day before the Super Bowl. I know exactly that flight.
I couldn't, I'm looking, I'm like, yeah, I wonder if there's something.
There is.
Like, Miami, Bradley,
yep.
9:05 on Saturday? Perfect. So I was.
You'll be home for Saturday Night Live.
Triple zero. I am in the car down 95 South to MIA.
Good luck with that airport. That is a maze. I get lost every time I go in there.
I haven't been. Usually I'll fly into Lauderdale.
Yeah,
that's kind of been the thing. And I think the last time I went out of Miami was when I left mid-show game day to get to Dallas for the Michigan State Cotton Bowl 2015. And I think at the time they were still like doing that like horrible rental car conveyor belt.
Yes.
Moving walkway thing.
No doubt they were.
So like, I don't know what that process is. Right. So I'm looking forward to finding out Saturday night around 8 o'clock or so.
All right. Be careful. What does the over under have to get to for you to take the over in Army Navy? It's at 38.
I'd take the over now.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the first pick right there.
I would too. I'd take the over. I'm not going to make it an official pick, but I'd take the over.
No. All right. Good. The steamer.
There's no way that under streak is going to go. There's no way it'll go under again. The streak has to end. Keep betting against the streak. That's like the best way to manage your bankroll, right? There's no way.
And then in a big time steamer condo pick that you can bet your condo on.
The steamer is an underdog. It's a rivalry game. It is Virginia. The steamer is an underdog. It is Virginia plus 2.5. I'm shocked he didn't say I only want it at plus 3, but he did write Virginia plus 2.5. So there's your steamer. Couple things. Thursday, Pittsburgh's Georgia Tech, ACC.
Second straight week he's gone against Virginia Tech, by the way, on the steamer. Yeah, oh. Yeah, you remember Clem? We had Clem last week.
Yeah, we did.
Clem minus 22.
So he's winner. Fading, so did fading, your boy,
exactly,
thank God.
Fading the Hokies again.
Interesting.
NC State alum coming out in him. By the way, before we move on, why we love our guy? So I'm sitting in the hotel Friday after our game day call on Friday morning. I'm getting ready for Daily Wager later in the afternoon, working on some last minute stuff for the show, and I just get a text. How far does the map say you are from Calabash, North Carolina? And that's like all it said. So I pull it up and it was like 38 minutes or something like that. So I'm like, yeah, it says 38 minutes. He's like, ah, that might be a little too far, but best seafood you'll ever have. He's like naming a place. And he's like, you got to get your doubled crab and whatever else. and then he's like, he was a little disappointed that I didn't make the drive on Friday night, but weather got kind of crappy, rainy.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to unfortunately have to pass on making this drive. So yeah. So the head dog was a little bit disappointed that I wasn't able to make it up to the Dockside Seafood House. He said, this is almost as good of a tip as Lexington Barbecue. And was just talking about how they would go to Myrtle Beach a lot as a kid and talk about that Calabash style seafood. And he said, place has got hush puppies that make a bulldog break its chain, which is just like an unbelievable line. But he was very disappointed that I did not go there, get the hush puppies, get the double crab, get the soft shell crab, all that stuff. But
he, He's great.
He was very, very, very disappointed that I did not make that trip, but he totally understood, being that it was north of a half hour up the road.
Yeah, that's the cutoff.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the slate, which is changing by the second. We're early afternoon here on Wednesday. I saw our poor guys at Charlotte just got canceled again against Marshall. We know what's going on with the Big Ten and all that. So Thursday, I just looked. I don't know. I don't want to say I give the benefit of the doubt because of Collins is so energetic and stuff like that. But Pitt and Georgia Tech have both had terrible seasons. And Georgia Tech's getting a touchdown at home. That feels like a lot in a conference game where I think Georgia Tech is still playing hard. So that's something to keep an eye out. I do have a couple picks circled that I think are going to be in the column on Friday. And I am going way against the grain, Bear. You talk about streaks. I'm doing something that I don't think I should be doing, but I have to. And that is laying double digits in the Territorial Cup.
I was going to say, I know exactly where you were getting.
I watched UCLA Arizona State. It was a great game. Arizona State showed a lot. We talked about Arizona State at the beginning of the year. I thought they might have lost that first game and then won out from there. Chipper comes back in a great comeback, which he calls for the young baby Bruins. That's what they're coining them out in Westwood. Shout out to the Chipper with his new Jordan. He'll be rocking the Jordans everywhere.
Baby Bruins got that jump man now.
Yeah, but I think I said Arizona State is almost in a redshirt season because of the youth and the recruiting class they have coming in. They have one of the top looking classes coming in next year. And they lose last week 25-18. They lose a month prior to USC. And Arizona just looked, I mean, they scored 13 last week, 10 against UCLA, went up, you know, and got destroyed for 3.5 quarters against Washington. It hasn't been pretty in Tucson. It feels like a lot, but there's a trust factor here. Jaden Daniels has been good in his two games, throwing for almost 400. They've played good defense. I just thought Chip found a couple of wrinkles that got them huge first downs early in that game-winning drive that ended up being a difference. But Jaden got the guys down the field. You know, not sure what's going on Arizona personnel-wise. I know it's going against everything in a rivalry game, and this has been one of the most crazy rivalries in the sport. When you go back and you look at no way should an underdog win, we will chance air and lay the double digits.
Remember next week, we have to circle back and get our Pac-12 correspondence on.
Yes, the week of the Pac-12. Absolutely.
Just remember that. So we could be having someone from SC. We could have someone from Colorado. Have someone maybe from Seattle. Be interesting to see where we wind up. But you're right. Friday there are a couple of games that you could probably see a lot of reaction to on game day, maybe on Saturday morning. Got that great story at San Jose State.
My favorite one, and that's
playing,
my other pick.
Playing Nevada now at UNLV because they can't play any home games. Looking to keep that undefeated season alive. Great win last week against Octane Football out in Hawaii. You have what could potentially be maybe the final game of the Kevin Sumlin era in Arizona. And then you got another great story in Colorado, who no one in the world would have thought this team would have been undefeated. The Carl Durrell hire was kind of like mocked as to you're hiring this guy. And they have played well, and they are a home favorite against Utah, and they will be rooting for UCLA on Saturday afternoon if they can beat the Utes.
Yeah, that's my other San Jose State. I just feel like their defense is pretty legit, Bear. They play. I mean, last week they go out to the island in a game that was supposed to be at San Jose. You know, they trade, you know, home stadiums and go out there and I thought really gave it to Hawaii. They go up early. I want to say it was 21-0 in the first quarter, and then they coast to that win. They've given up 17. I feel like their defense is in a better spot. I've watched a lot of Nevada. I really like Strong, the quarterback. He's got an absolute hose for an arm. And Dobbs, the receiver, has been really, really good too. So I think San Jose State's just a more rounded, better off team there. So I will lay the 2.5 with the Spartans. As you said, that is at the – not at the Raiders Stadium. That's still at Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas.
And favorite venue of our
guy Matt Eumanns out in Las Vegas.
And here I was thinking that I was going to be present at the final game at Sam Boyd Stadium last year for that Vegas Bowl. And
how dare you?
Not actually, I didn't even make it out to the game because I was deathly ill.
That's right.
Got sick on Friday after Friday night at dinner, and I was out for the count. Never made it to see the Huskies take on the Broncos. Talking about the schedule changing and this Ohio State joke that the Big Ten's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, what if I'm the Big, like, okay, you're doing it. You're like, why would the Big 12 like just like not pull the plug on this Oklahoma West Virginia game? Like, it does no. It's a rescheduling of a canceled game already.
Yeah.
West Virginia got the doors blown off in Ames last week. Oklahoma's got the Big 12 title game next week. If I'm Oklahoma, like, look, I know kids want to play and it's an opportunity to play, but you're traveling to West Virginia. The game doesn't mean anything. Like, you're taking a massive – the conference is taking a massive risk here, but putting a team that's going to be a Big 12 title game – on the road, I mean, A, you've got the COVID concerns about maybe someone contracts something, and B, you got the injury. Like, what happens if Spencer Rattler gets hurt in the game? We certainly hope that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm surprised that the Big 12 is kind of going through with this game. I mean, we saw the ACC pull the deal last week, which didn't bother me as much because Miami wasn't making the ACC championship game.
No.
That was like – you saw that writing on the wall a mile away. Mm-hmm. But and then if I'm Nick Saban and Dan Mullen, I'm like, really? I gotta play this week now too. I mean, again, I understand kids want to play, and I'm happy that we have the games, and I'm happy that we're seeing them. But I'm sure, like, behind the scenes, that, like, these coaches who are in these conference championship games next week aren't necessarily thrilled to have to go out there and play a game this week.
It's a great point because I keep hearing things that West Virginia still doesn't have enough guys. I mean, you saw what they put on the field at in Ames last week. Yep. Not to take anything away from Iowa State, but it's. I mean, there's a circle and underline, but everybody I talk to, it just says West Virginia is not sure what they're going to have personnel wise.
And that was like last week with South Carolina had what 16 guys dressed on defense or something like that, like 46 guys dressed for the game. I mean, that's again. I'm glad they play it, and I'm glad we have these games, and we get to talk about them on this pod and College Game Day and college football. But it's like, wow, it's just truly is amazing when you take a step back and you realize some of the circumstances for some of these teams and their ability that somehow we're still playing games. But anyway, my first pick is Mississippi State. I had Auburn last week, and it probably was the right side. You led in the fourth quarter and you dropped an interception that may have been a pick six, but it goes from you having the ball right to Texas A&M receivers' hands for touchdown, completely turning the game around. But Auburn picks that ball off, they probably win the game outright. Me, I think that was their last stand last week. You get crushed by Bama in the Iron Bowl. You're on your home field for senior day. You show up. Yeah, you give A&M a go, and yeah, maybe you could have won the game, and you lose it in kind of gut-wrenching fashion, but missing out on a play. And now you're laying 7 on the road. In Mississippi State, who I thought may have checked out a long time ago, but they took Georgia to the final seconds. Mm-hmm. They played well in the Egg Bowl. I thought there was every reason in the world that this team might check out, but they haven't. They played better as the year went along. Give me Mississippi State plus the 7 at home against Auburn.
I had that game crossed off because I didn't want to watch that game, Bear, and now I have to watch it because I have to root for you and Mississippi State. I was really hoping. I was like, all right, night slate. All right, cross that one off. I don't have to watch that one. All right.
By the way, speaking of watching, was that not great last week? You and myself and Cole Kubik just sharing our text chain and kind of a Twitter back and forth during the big one at InfoCision Stadium.
It was glorious. It was a glorious day in Akron, Ohio. I have some thoughts at the end of the pod I want to touch on because I keep forgetting about a couple things that I want to say when I look back, and I don't want to start the pod with a look back at last week because we're already at Wednesday and everybody just wants picks. So okay. I do have that circle. I do want I have that to get to. Same decision I had last week. I'm glad I made the right decision. I hemmed and hawed about Clemson or the over all week last week. Ended up going with the right side, which was Clemson. We eventually got there, which was not a fun start. But I look at the over Alabama game and the over and possible Florida in those games. We just thought we're going to continue using the words doubt. Star freshman Eric Gilbert at LSU is supposedly opting out. I can't stand that because everything was all right for how many games they played, but it feels like a quit to me, which is fine. Everybody has their decisions to make. But we know these teams are on a collision course. It just, if there's, I mean, you knew Emma was not taking foot off the gas last week. You knew that. And on the other side, you got Pittman, you got Briles, you know, you got guys that could stir up some offense against Bama if Nick does call the dogs off, knowing what's at stake the following week in Atlanta. And then the same thing for Mullen with Florida. We know what's at stake the following week. We do know they have healthy Pitts after he was concussed and missed a couple games against Georgia. So the thing that scares me here, Bear, is if there's ever a time where Coach Saban might call the dogs off, it's this week, I think, because of what. And I feel there's a mutual respect for our guy Pitt at Arkansas and what he's done in his first year. So I'm not sure. I think the back door is going to be open. I just don't know how far the porch is going to be to have to go in the back door for Arkansas. So I'm thinking about the over there. And I just think on the other side, I think Florida and knowing what's going on and the that might be a, you know, our starters are staying in a little bit longer for Mullen than they are Saban. But I'm hemming and hawing there. I like both overs. The issue is, and that's why I didn't give the over in the LSU game last week, was I don't know. I can't trust LSU to do anything offensively. It's bad. So I'm thinking the over in the Bama Arkansas game is where I'm at right now. But I will make it official in the column. What else? What about Wisconsin Iowa's down to a pick 'em? You got anything there?
I don't like that game.
Okay.
I don't like that game at all. Kind of like UCLA again.
They're fun, man. They are fun.
Everyone, I think the recency bias here, like the last thing you saw was Slovis going nuts on Sunday night, and putting up points and getting out to a big lead. And I don't know how many people really stayed up late with this on Saturday night to see the end of that, the UCLA comeback. And
that was awesome.
As good as SC was last week, you still have to remember the couple of games earlier this year where they weren't that good. And maybe it's a case where they're getting better off of the Utah game and the Wazoo game, but this is a tricky number. It's low. It's lower than you might think it would be. Hanging there at 3, I can see SC being a very popular public pick this week. Knowing that if they win, they get to the Pac-12 championship game, I can see myself being on the Bruins and the baby Bruins and the Jumpman there on Saturday. Does the other airline does that flight have televisions on it, TV monitors?
If you're in the right section.
Well, I'm in the right section.
Yeah, I think you'd be all right. I think you'd be all right. Do you know how many yards USC rushed for against Washington State?
Well, it was like 24 or something, right?
5.
Was it five? I knew it was something ridiculous.
20 rush attempts for 5 yards. Now I know they went up 28-0 in the first quarter. But isn't that when you're supposed to work on your run game? That was really eye-opening to me because I watched that game. We're at work Sunday nights. We had a bunch of TVs, so it was obviously on one. But that was real. I mean, they could not run the ball against Wazoo, which is not a good defensive team.
And if they aren't able to run the ball on Wazoo, they're probably not going to be able to run the ball against UCLA. They are much better up front.
And I also think the way UCLA can dice you up and spread you out and find matchups, I think Chip's going to want to play a little keep away there, away from Slovis, because they do got the goods, man. That, again, SC just comes out like the receivers are just so every year. Like, you're like, who's this guy? St. Brown's out there. And then I'll tell you, the new kid I like is Drake London, 15. He comes out of the gate. I think the first drive, I think he had 3 or 4 catches. But he's phenomenal. He's another one, 6'5", 210, just looks like a Greek god out there catching balls. But that's my most anticipated game to watch. It'll be awesome. They'll both have the home jerseys on. That's a fun one. Good to see you're on the Bruins and a believer. I'm not talking about the team that Missouri's playing. I don't feel like it. The line disappeared in Rutgers, Maryland. I saw 8 all week. I thought that was too many for the Sunge, and now it's gone. Feels like two totally different teams there, which will be an interesting matchup with the Terps and the Knights. Things got dicey at the end of that Rutgers-Penn State game. You could tell no one likes each other on either side of those sideline. Late hits, knee twisting, all that nasty stuff. Is the bucket going to be played for?
Well, that was the rumor yesterday with that Purdue had some issues, and that was the whole, maybe Purdue's not going to play and we'll get Indiana, Ohio State anyway.
Yeah. Florida State's playing Duke.
Good. Is it Coach Hammond, Coach K?
No. Look at this. Vandy's on the schedule against Tennessee. Cal's laying 2.5 in Pullman. Oh, Texas laying 30. Listen, we can't give up now. We lost last week with KU and Lubbock.
Came close.
It has been very good to us. So this is simple. Our math at the beginning of the season was just a dead play against KU. They've covered twice. So now they are 2-7 against the spread. Do we want to just take the 7-2 and go into the off season, or do we want to press it? Let's press it. Let's lay the 30.
Press.
Lay the 30 with Texas. They scored 69 last week against Kansas State. Ellinger, we need more this week. How's that sound? Hook them. What else? Anything? I mean, Nebraska, Minnesota, are they going to play?
That was the appearance early in the week. It looked like the boat was ready to back on the water there. So we'll find out.
I wouldn't want to give 10.5 with the Huskers.
It's interesting.
I can't believe Northwestern lost to Michigan State.
Yeah,
like
teams that have very small margins of error. These defensive-minded teams that really don't have great offenses, that when teams are able to make a couple of big plays against them, they can't counter with big plays of their own. That's a problem. So that's what that was. The other surprise, and the Army's a 7-point favorite over Navy as well.
Mm.
Like these games between the academies, I think like 11 of the last 12 have been like covered by the underdog, and I think like 7 of them have been outright wins, something like that. Last 12 games between academies, underdogs are 11-1 against the number and have won 7 outright. Like 7 mm-hmm. seems like a lot of points. I know this is not a good Navy team, but I'm not sure how good an Army is either. This is not the Army team that went up and down the field on Houston a couple of years ago.
No.
That was a legit good team.
Yes, no doubt about it. we obviously saw Navy against BYU to start the season, and it wasn't pretty. But because Army comes out of the blocks with a roll job in Middle Tennessee. We know what Middle was. And then they rolled UL Monroe. Those are two of the worst teams in the country. Mm-hmm. Then they get the postponement against BYU. And then they go to Cincinnati and lose 24-10. Cincinnati had chances in that game. Army was not impressive. Then they come I wanted to say they play like Abilene Christian. They come. Then the next week was when I said take Citadel. Army only beat Citadel 14-9. They beat the Roadrunners 28-16. They beat Mercer 49-3. Tulane, they got rolled. And Georgia Southern, they won by one. Late. There's not a good win on that schedule there. Like,
I agree.
I mean, I got more respect for these guys than anybody, but it is it's not pretty.
Two styles that know each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean – it's have fun, man. I mean, the problem with Navy is that they've scored 13 in their last two games combined against Tulsa and Memphis. So it hasn't been pretty. But yeah, you gotta lean underdog here. Once again, the uniforms. Hey, steal me one of those helmets that they put on the game day set. All right, I'll take that.
I'm still waiting for my Masters logo game day helmet from the set. I haven't gotten one of those yet.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, I'm expecting to get one.
Get on the phone with some of the ops guys. I'm just trying to think. I feel like we've touched on every game. I don't want to leave a game out there before I just give some thoughts on next week. Let's just see. Double checking here. All the MAC games. I'm sorry. I got nothing. I've retired 1-0 as a MAC fan with the Zips. I'm retired there. UAB Rice, great win for Rice. Good for them last week.
That was like the most shocking result of the year.
Like they did it with a backup at almost every position too.
I was going to say you're a 20-something point dog with a bunch of backups on the road, and you shut them out. I mean, I'm obviously Marshall helped them out with the five picks, but
yeah,
like wow,
good for
them. That was unbelievable.
It's awesome. Washington paused workouts. Do you know if Washington doesn't play, they're going to go to the Pac-12 title game?
Yep.
3-1. Yep. Or again, Michigan State, again, Penn State,
it's a conference champion. Like, fine. No one's going to the playoff there anyway. Yeah. But it's like, speaking of that's a good segue. Like, it's funny how people talk about, like, the group of five being, like, not treated fairly. Like, we talk about Cincinnati. And,
yeah.
Like, Cincinnati and Coastal are both ranked higher than the highest Pac-12 team. Like the group of five has more respect right now than the Pac-12 does.
Yeah, it kind of bothered me last night to see that. I'll say this. The Pac-12 is the Big Ten without Ohio State. There's not much difference there.
The Big 12 is not a good lead this year.
I mean, Big Ten without Ohio State is the Pac-12. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah,
it could just be the circumstances of this ridiculous year that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, all that. I mean, there's not that much difference. Like, just, I mean, do your head-to-head. You want to do head-to-head matchups? You want to do eye tests on teams? Whatever you want. Like, it's not that different. And, it's just, and then you look at the rankings, like, wow, really? Like, Indiana with a backup quarterback is really, they're really the 12th best team in the country. Okay. All right. I got it. I'd like to see some teams. North Carolina, three losses. Really, 17? I mean, we got some undefeated teams out there behind them. So it's not fun. Anything else on this coming week?
It's a pretty dangerous type week in terms of games. It's something that I'm going to tread lightly. I do like Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Do like UCLA, but other than that, I'm gonna be careful here. It's a lot of dangerous games out here.
Yeah, I hear you. It is week 15, and we've never been here before, so you should definitely tread lightly. A couple things I just want to say from last week watching games that I just wrote some notes down. I was really happy to see Larry Johnson be the head coach last Saturday and just see him trolling, you know, up and down the sidelines. Like, he just looked, it was awesome. He's a veteran. I've said it all the time. Whenever I go to Ohio State game, I make it a point to go out to pregame and watch their D-line pregame. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite pregame routine in the country. He's just, you talk about a guy developing players, that guy is A1. And ask any one of the guys and look at the numbers he has in the pros. The Ohio State center, Miller, was really fired up before the game. He even got Herbie fired up. Like, when you guys went to those live look-ins and he's yelling this and yelling that.
Yep.
He should buy dinner for Justin Fields, like, a lot. Because what Justin Fields did Saturday was absolutely incredible. And what I mean by that is, I understand there's different linemen. He didn't know where the snap was coming any time that whole game. And to see what he did and not know and not have a rhythm, it was even more outstanding to me. So Fields is just incredible. It's a pleasure to watch. And what he did Saturday was incredible. Missouri football, fun as hell. That game against Arkansas was awesome. And I'm sure Missouri fans thought the world was ending again as they drop interception. It falls in Arkansas's lap for a win, but they got the job done. Coach Drink is ranked. I can't believe it. And shout out to them. And one other thing.
They got your Bulldogs at Faurot Field on Saturday.
I don't know who you're talking about. Fresno State. They're playing Fresno State.
The team that the head dog used to man.
Oh, okay.
Right. Those Bulldogs.
And one other thing, I just – having Mike Golic back on games in college football is awesome. Him and Pash have been together this year, and I forgot how much I missed him calling games, going back to when he was with Bill Curry calling games. But I absolutely love having
so
Mike Golic.
So passionate and so real.
So knowledgeable, so smart, so shows good. You what's happening up front when D-line and linebackers and defensive schemes. It's just a great, great – return, and I'm so happy that he's back calling games. I've been meaning to say it every week on the pod, and finally I just wrote it down and said
make sure you say it's
week 14. You should probably say it by now because we're not gonna have a pod.
There's gonna be a week 16 pod too.
Yeah, I know.
We get to talk about that Ohio State Northwestern Big Ten championship game.
There we go.
I'm not gonna harp on it too much.
All right, as Bear said, we'll be back next week for a championship Saturday recap and all that.
Row the boat, Sky Mon, go Gophers.
We do have some picks. The Big Mike Happy Recap is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code Steve at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, Bear, I'm going to go against the grain. As I said earlier, I'm going to lay the double digits with Arizona State. I am going to lay the 2.5 with San Jose State, and we are going to circle the over in the Bama Arkansas game at 68. Feel good about giving that one. And our Oklahoma and Rutgers are both underlined to make sure we keep updated with the line and that, and just see what's going on as the Rutgers line disappeared. And then West Virginia there's talks of them obviously being light of players if we saw their performance last week in Ames. And you, sir, are going to Starkville.
Yes, I am going to Starkville and taking the 7 with Mississippi State. And then I'm pretty sure I'm going to take UCLA plus the 3 as well. So that's all I got right now.
All right. Pay attention for the column coming out around noon Eastern Thursdays, ESPN.com, the chalk section. That's where our official picks are. Bear, travel safe. Have a good drive up to Hudson, and then a nice flight to South Beach. It's not really South Beach. I hate saying
Opa-locka.
South. Opa-locka. Is it still a Hard Rock, right? Hard Rock Stadium?
Is it a Hard Rock? Yes.
Great upgrade of a stadium. Absolutely.
That's where the national championship will be on January the 11th.
Mm-hmm. And the steamer is Virginia. I appreciate you, Schwenk, filling in for Bucknuts. He's probably celebrating about this new rule change that Ohio State.
He's going to be mad because to his credit, he wanted to play Michigan, and he said he'd rather play Michigan next week than in the Big Ten championship game. So, I'm sure Bucknuts will be kind of conflicted because he wants the. But that's the thing too. Like, and Stuart Mandel actually was the first person I saw that tweeted it out yesterday. It's all this talk about this ridiculousness of the Big Ten changing the rules and playoff and number of games. Like, the headline is like one of the best rivalries in the sport is not being played. Like, that's like the number one macro story. And it's overshadowed now by the Big Ten not liking the results of the change of the rules. It's kind of like the Piper's Pit episode where Roddy Piper, like, just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions. It just kind of has that feel.
All right. So to make the playoff, the Buckeyes will have played and beaten Nebraska, Penn State, Rutgers, Indiana, Michigan State, Northwestern, which has a combined record of 19-20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For those people that that argue that either the system is rigged and that the games don't matter, this is an ultimate example of that. The games don't matter. You played five games, didn't matter how you looked. You're Ohio State. We thought you were one of the best four teams in the country going in, and we're going to do everything we can to help you.
All right.
Ohio State is one of the best four teams in the country, and I think they should be in the playoff. I am not advocating that they're not in the playoff. I don't care about a conference champion, not conference champion. They're one of the four best teams. I don't care who they play next week. I'd put them in, but it's just me. My whole issue and deal with this is the Big Ten not liking the outcome of the rule that they implemented and just changing it on a whim at the last minute.
On that note, take us away, Bear.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.